searching for a heart that will love him. Longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate. And longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he said, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate. Longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all. He wants it all. And he says, love me with your all.
Our emotions. Good morning to my Blog Talk listeners and Run for Christ Ministries family. Time to go to school. It's Saturday, and I'm back. I'd like to say thank you to my teachers that filled in for me while I was away. It was not only refreshing, but it was also very enlightening. I learned a lot, and I'm still processing. So if I turn the fire hose up too loud or too hard today, just say, ho, teacher, stop. Back up. So again, I say good morning and to everybody who's here. I can hear some voices out there. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So let us open in prayer this morning. Father, this morning we are grateful to be your children. The privilege, the honor, the blessing it is to belong to the Most High, to the one true living God, and know that it's not just a transactional thing, but this is a relationship. We're your family, and you desire, like a good parent, to have your kids come around them and sit at your feet so you can bestow not only your wisdom, but infuse your power into our lives. So we're thankful for Jesus this morning, who made it possible, who brought us into your kingdom. And right now, we're just opening our hearts to you, Holy Spirit, to teach us and lead us according to your will. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Excuse me.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
So for those of you who are in class, we are, I don't remember whether or not Deacon told me whether he finished, but it's okay because we're actually going to go back to our lesson on the kingdom of heaven. And if you got any questions about that previous lessons, you can call him. I'm kidding. you can give me it. But anyway, we're back studying, we believe, not just knowing what, but why. I am, like I said, it just never fails. Every day I'm listening to another person who can spout off information about God, about the Bible, but they can't, they're not understanding it. And if you don't understand what it is you're taking in, then wisdom can't enter in to teach you how to apply it. So the keys are information. We get information, but we get with all the scripture says, with all you're getting, get understanding. In other words, learn what, why did Jesus come? Why do we talk about the kingdom of heaven? Why do we have this Bible? Why? What are these stories all about? Is God doing something great that we are missing? So we need to go deeper. So the purpose of these lessons is to draw us deeper into the word, not just so we can answer questions on Jeopardy or a trivia quiz, but so that our lives can be impacted and changed and transformed by this kingdom. So if somebody would read our memory verse while I take a sip of coffee.
And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. Is that
okay.
The wrong one?
So we got to, we're going back to the other sheet that I was teaching.
Oh.
So I remember I should have prefaced that again. We're going back in Matthew. Yep. Found in, you can pull up in your Bible, Luke chapter 12, verse 32.
Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom.
All right. Thank you. All right. Now let's get some things. I've been practicing this on Sunday morning. What is the kingdom?
The government of God.
Okay.
The reign of God. In the world as you intended it to be.
Yes. That's our definition. The kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. I had a lady ask me last Saturday about that, and it's good to reemphasize. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are used interchangeably. They're not two separate reigns or two separate places. Matthew uses the kingdom of heaven mostly because Matthew is speaking to a Jewish audience who does not utter the name of God. So he would say the kingdom of heaven because we know heaven is the place where who dwells?
God
dwells. So he's referencing the person who is in heaven. All right, mm-hmm. And then so to say the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is literally the reign of God in the world that we live in today, as he intended it to be, because who created this world?
God did.
So since God created it, it's his. It's always been his. He shared his rule with humanity, Adam and Eve in the garden, the command to take dominion. In other words, rule with me. But we know they dropped the ball. And ever since then, humanity has been dropping the ball. And when we don't rule, other kingdoms do come in and influence. So anyway. That's water holes. Let me back up. All right, so we're talking about knowing what the kingdom of heaven is, not just knowing what we believe about the kingdom of heaven, but why we believe that God is reigning and ruling in the earth. And we're going through, in the book of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. And we started a couple weeks back. We were in Matthew chapter 5, and Jesus was addressing the people that those who are kingdom people are blessed. Those who are kingdom people, another word for blessed is happy. Happy are the people of the kingdom. Who? Why? Because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It belongs to them. So our memory verse: it's the Father's. It pleases the Father to give us the kingdom. He wants us to experience His reign and his rule in the earth today, all right? Because a lot of misconceptions come about kingdom there are people who believe that the kingdom is to come. And yes, there is a part of the kingdom that is not yet. But right now, every single day, for those of us who believe in Jesus Christ, who have accepted his sacrifice for our sins and who have come under his lordship, he is ruling and reigning. His kingdom is here and now and accessible to us, as we're going to see in chapter 6, where he teaches us to pray. What does he teach us in chapter 6, verse 9, or rather, verse 10 of Matthew?
May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
All right. So when Jesus teaches his disciples, his followers, to pray, he says, pray, our Father, may your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, which means he wants us to experience his rule and reign when?
Right now.
Right now. Right now. Right. And then one day, of course, we know we are waiting for the blessed hope of when Christ returns and rules over all kingdoms, all nations, everywhere. All right, so let's get back into our lesson. I want to pick back up because I kind of felt like I rushed through chapter 5. Somebody read verses 13 through 16 of Matthew.
Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16.
Yes.
You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen.
All right. Thank you, sis. Okay, so he mentions two properties. We have salt and light. Let's just think practically. How many of you all have cooked something, and what happens when you put salt in it?
It enhances it, the flavor.
It enhances the flavor of the food. What else does it do?
It can melt ice.
Yes. It has that property. We thank God for that in the wintertime. What else does ice do? I mean, what else does salt do?
You can clean your skillet with it.
Yep, your cast iron skillet. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
It preserves food.
And it also toughens. If you have a poor tooth, they say you can gargle with salt water.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right.
Healing properties.
It causes, because it draws the water out. It causes something to tighten up.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's useful. What happens if you put too much salt in something you want to eat?
It's ruined.
Yeah, it's inedible.
Oh. Hmm. I like that word ruined because it takes over, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It does.
Yes.
Keep that in mind, all right? And when you think about light, I remember one of the most horrific things about basic training was after you were getting a great night's sleep, some unholy person would turn on the lights in the middle of the night, usually about 4 o'clock in the morning, to make you get up. And no matter how deep the sleep you were in, what happens when somebody turns on the lights?
Wakes you up.
It wakes you up because the light penetrates your eyelids. Mm-hmm. You know, so light and salt are both invasive.
Oh.
And they can both be upsetting to a situation. Like you said, if you put too much salt in food, it can overtake the food to the point where you can't even eat it. And if you put light in a dark place, it can upset what's going on. We think negatively a lot about things, but what Jesus is actually pointing out is we're being salt of the earth. We're being put into a place where we're ruining another kingdom.
Oh.
Because one of the things you said, salt purifies, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So if something doesn't want to be made pure and you put salt in it, it can purify it. It can take
mm-hmm.
water even. And I remember being in Texas, and because the water is so bad in some places, this guy gave me some coffee, and I was like, this is salty. And he said, yeah, because we got to put salt in the well in order to pull out some impurities
mm-hmm.
in it. So,
yeah.
I was going to say
it causes things to curdle, separate.
Mm.
Oh.
Mm. So remember, I talked about we're going deeper. We're not just knowing what, but why. What does salt do? What does light do? And here Jesus
mm-hmm.
is comparing the kingdom to salt and light. And he's telling people who are in the kingdom, this is what you are to do in the world. When you're in the world, you're like salt. You purify. You separate. You upset. Because we think it's a bad thing to upset something, but we know there's some things that need upsetting in our world, all right?
And
as John Lewis says, there's some good trouble we need to make. Did Jesus upset the world that he was living in?
Absolutely.
Indeed he did.
Absolutely. Yes, he did. And so he's telling his people, you're going to be blessed are peacemakers. You're going to be peacemakers. But your making peace is going to upset people who like war.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be merciful. When you show mercy, you're going to upset people who oppose mercy, who want vengeance. And as we continue through this, we're going to see why he's showing, and why am I spending time on this? Because we need to understand the kingdom is different. It is counterintuitive to the world in which we live. It goes against the grain.
Would it be accurate to call it the upside-down kingdom?
Oh, you must be reading some of the same books I'm reading, sis. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's upside-down. I mean, we're all to a level where we understand this. When Christ came and overcame the world, because he said, be of good cheer, I've overcome. When he overcame the world, did he overcome the world the way Caesar overcame the world?
No.
Not at all.
Gently.
How did he overcome the world?
He was gentle. And all-inclusive.
And ultimately, what did he do to overcome?
He gave himself.
He died.
He gave his life.
He died. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. It's upside down. It's the opposite of what people would think. Good one. All right. We're tracking. Okay. I can turn the water hose up a little bit. Somebody keep reading. Let's go. We're still in chapter 5. Read verses 17 through 20, and we're going to find out question 4, what shouldn't kingdom citizens be like?
Okay. It says, don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest details of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. But I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven.
All right. So, first I'm going to ask you a question and see if y'all know the answer. How did Jesus fulfill the law?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's okay. When the ruler comes to Jesus, the man comes and he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And then what about the greatest commandments? What are the two greatest commandments? Because Jesus says that the law hangs on these things. In other words, this holds the law together.
Love the Lord your
love
God
God.
With all your heart and all your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then
the second is like it.
Love
your neighbor as yourself. Did Jesus come loving God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength?
Yes.
He did.
Did Jesus love his neighbor as himself?
Yes.
He did.
Yes. So it wasn't, the Pharisees were very detail-oriented, so much so, remember, they get ridiculous with it. They tied down to the, they got 10 mustard seeds, and they pull one of these little, get some tweezers, and pull one of these tiny little mustard seeds aside and say, that's set apart to God. They were just tediously following rules.
Mm-hmm.
They were rule followers. So they missed the heart of the law. It wasn't about purposely making sure you give the exact amount. It was about being generous in your giving. It wasn't about not eating shrimp or fish. It was about understanding that there were dietary reasons God gave. And so Jesus follows the law, but yet and still Jesus – no, let me just stop. Jesus fulfills the law because Jesus is the only human being without sin who actually mm-hmm. lived perfectly. So therefore, he completely fulfilled the law by living up to the standard
mm-hmm.
of the law. And notice it doesn't just say law. It says also the prophets, because the prophets talked about the one who would come, who would be the like David, who would be a suffering servant. So Jesus embodied what Israel was looking for and waiting for. Someone who could come and not and be like the first Adam was in the beginning. All right. We'll go deeper on that. I'll do some more research, and we'll have a lesson on how did Jesus fulfill the law coming soon. So I want you to key on something that was said. Verse 20. Read that again, Sister Keela, verse 20.
Okay, verse 20. But I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven.
All right. So we know, what does the word righteousness mean?
Living right.
Right standing with God.
Right standing with God, living right with others. Because righteousness includes three parts: right standing with God, right standing with humanity, and right standing with creation.
Mm-hmm.
So living right with God, living right with other people, including ourselves, and living right with creation, with nature. You know, we're not supposed to be abusing and misusing and profiting exorbitantly off of creation.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can all agree on that, because we're dealing with the penalties of that as we speak. So that's what righteousness encompasses. I'm going to give you in the next, that's a Jewish word called tzedakah, but we're going to get, we're on question four still. So Jesus is saying, you got to be better. Your righteousness has to be better than the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And because they have become a bunch of rule followers. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this. Do this. Don't do that. Don't talk to those people. Don't talk to those people. Don't eat with those people. Don't look at those people. Don't. The law hangs on loving your neighbor as yourself. How can you ignore your neighbor? So they're a bunch of rule followers. They've gotten to the point where they are religious and not relational. Later on, Jesus will say, you know, the Pharisees, when they tied to the tenth of their mint and cumin, but they their parents are suffering and they won't pay their mortgage because they say it's set apart to God. So they're religious, rule-following, but they're not relational, relational towards God, humanity, and the creation. All right. So these are the law. These are the experts. These are the people who are supposed to be teaching God's people, the Jewish people, about God. And this, unfortunately, is sadly what happens and has happened throughout the history within the church, where we choose religion over relationship, where we would rather do the right thing instead of doing the righteous thing. So you get to a place where we're not going to get involved in that, even though people are suffering, because that's not for us to get involved in. So this is what he's pointing out. He's saying, unless your righteousness is greater than theirs, you won't see God reigning in your life. You won't see God ruling in your world, because they're following rules and they're not in relationship. So if you're not in relationship with somebody, you don't know what, how they think. You don't know how they respond to certain, I'm talking to some married people on the line, you don't know how, or everybody's relational. We got children and siblings and friends, and we can say things about our friends like, oh, that's, don't say that because you already, you're triggering her, because we know what triggers our friends or our people around us. We know what makes our kids angry or sets them or gets them, brings their spirit down. You know your spouse's mood swings because you're in a relationship. But if you're religious, you just check off boxes. Well, they're just having a bad day. No, 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 wait. They haven't had their coffee yet. Or I could tell when they got up this morning they were a little down.
Okay.
So you see the Pharisees, they're cold. They're disembodied. They're disheartened. They're rule followers. And not all of them, because there's some that do follow Jesus. But you see he's saying the difference? Relationship means that you're involved with people. You know what's happening. You're moved by compassion. Like Jesus, as we will study in his life with people, he would say he would look at the people and moved with compassion, he would lean into their situation.
Mm-hmm.
He would do something about their situation. Okay. Questions?
Well, I don't have a question, but that made me think about in Isaiah where he says the ox knows its master.
And then you get in John where Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice and they
know me."
No, they know me.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't follow another because they know my voice. I don't know if I probably told you the story, but I like telling these stories because they help understand something. There was a video was somewhere in Ireland or somewhere in the British Empire. There was a convergence of sheep. There were like three different shepherds, and all of these sheep were intertwined with each other. They were just all like in some roadside area. All these different sheep. And there were three different shepherds. And when the shepherd would make a certain sound, their sheep and their sheep alone would respond and follow them.
Wow, I don't remember this story.
Yeah, I have to look up the video and find it again. It was amazing. What's her name? And she tells the story that she actually witnessed this. So it's because the sheep from birth are trained to hear a voice. That's why when babies are born, they look, you'll see them little newborns, and a certain person will start talking, and they'll turn their head towards that person because they've heard that voice before. That voice is familiar. And so it is. So when Jesus, what you're saying is ox knows its master, sheep know their shepherd. So he's saying that the people that know God are in relationship with God, they should know his voice. They should know when people say, well, God said it's okay to enslave people. It's in the Bible. That's not God. Slavery was never his will of any form. Oppression, never. There was never supposed to be hierarchies in society. We were supposed to be together, ruling under God. A little more of revelation. So Jesus is saying with the Pharisees, they know the rules, but they don't follow the rules because they don't know the heart of the rules. They know what's written on the paper. They know what. They don't know why. Nicodemus, remember Nicodemus in John 3 comes to the Lord and says, "Rabbi, we know you're a great teacher. We know you know your stuff. We know your stuff is different. But I want to go deeper." And Jesus gives them that great discourse about being born again. You must be born again. Even though you're a rabbi, even though you're a leader, you're a Pharisee, people follow you. You know what? You don't know why. You don't have the Spirit of God in you teaching you. All right, keep going. So,
okay, wait, I do have a question. So were the Pharisees willfully disobedient, or they were just ignorant?
Both.
Oh.
Because they'll see the miracles. One of the tests is when a miracle is done, they usually send a rabbi or a Pharisee to go and investigate. Like if somebody is delivered from demonic possession, or if somebody is healed, remember Jesus told a lot of times when he healed people, he would say, "Now go to the priest and show yourself." Because we need evidence. Because they want evidence of actual healing. So these people were coming to the priesthood, to the Pharisee, to the rabbi, to the Sanhedrin, showing themselves, look, I had leprosy, but now my skin is like a baby. And they would perform a ritual, but then they would look, how did this happen? Oh, Jesus of Nazareth did it. Matter of fact, I was on the road, and he just said it, and it happened as I was coming to tell you about it. So you got that evidence that this actually happened, but yet and still you say, let's kill him because he's going to destroy us.
Okay.
So that's disobedience. That's willfully denying what's right in front of you. And then these were the people who were supposed to know the scriptures. These were the people who were supposed to be able to say, wait a minute, born in Bethlehem, city of David. Yeah, something about Bethlehem in our scriptures. Born of a virgin. Did the prophet Isaiah say something about a virgin? These were the people who should have been picking up on the clues. But because they were rule followers and note takers, not a bad thing, but because they were looking for blank filling in instead of trying to get to the heart of, wait a minute, God is moving. Daniel prophesied something about this time. Anyway, we just on question four. All right. So these were people who knew the law but didn't obey it. They knew better. And so this is why Jesus is saying, when you know what to do is right and you don't do right, what is it?
Sin.
All right. So let's get into question five. What is righteousness? Again, I talked a little bit about it. It's the Hebrew word tzedakah. Ours shouldn't be like the Pharisees. The word righteousness means right relationships. That's what I said, right living, right standing, right being in good standing or good relationships. And we need to be in good relationships with God, with other people, and ourselves included, and with creation. That's what it means to be righteous. It also means, go ahead.
I have a question. What about being right with the law, you know, following and obeying the regular law?
Okay. Let's ask the question. Who was the only person that did that?
That followed the law?
Completely.
Jesus.
Because I think it was the Apostle Paul said that if you break one law, don't you break them all? Was that Jesus?
Yeah.
That was Jesus.
Oh.
You break one law, you break them all. So following the law did not make them right with God because they couldn't follow the law. Following the law for the Old Testament, the traditions of sacrifice, that's why they had a sacrificial system, because they couldn't follow the law. God had to make a way for them to be in relationship with him and continue with him in order to get to the place where he could make us right with him forever, eternally, through Jesus. So now I hear what you're saying, because today we got folks out in the street that's saying we have to follow the law, all 613. But that doesn't make us right with God, does it?
No, that helps us to stay out of jail and stay out of trouble.
Exactly. The law has a purpose. The law taught us what was wrong. The law teaches us, you know, how to live with each other and better. It has a purpose. But when Christ came, he satisfied all the requirements for us. And now, if you believe in imputation, we are credited with his perfection in the law. You know, so he that's why it's a gift. It's not if it came down, if we had to follow the law, I broke it already this morning. because I'm sure I'm wearing cotton polyester because everything I got on it is stretchy. So, and there's an unclean thing in my room right now.
You talking about the puppy?
Those. Yeah, the big puppy here. Yeah, actually, he had a bath yesterday. But anyway, all right. Good question though, and these are that's why it's good we talk about these things because this is what we're building. We're going to be able to give people answers when they come to us and say, "Well, you should be following the law. Christ fulfilled the law. Do I still adhere to? I don't kill. I don't steal." And we're going to get into that next to talk about, because it's not about the rules. It's about the relationship. Okay, so let me get back to righteousness. So righteousness is right relationship, right standing with God, with people, with creation. All right. It also incurs being responsive to God. That's a part of being righteous. So when you're right with God, you can respond to God. When you're not right with God, the unsaved don't respond to God. Remember the sheep and the voices? Did my sheep hear my voice? People who don't follow Jesus don't hear God's voice.
But God does talk to them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God is always speaking.
Okay.
Speaks loud and clear every day. Every morning, what happens in the east?
Sunrise. The sun rises.
Sun rises. And then what happens in the west every evening?
It's that.
Yes.
And it's almost down to the minute.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I heard this the other day, and I'm always fascinated by it. And as soon as I can find somebody who can spin a basketball on their finger, the earth is spinning. Even as we speak, the earth that we're on, right, it's rotating.
Right.
And it's rotating at a speed in which we don't get flung off of it or sucked into it. So it's rotating at the perfect speed. Right?
Right.
We're in ninth grade science again. So as the earth is rotating, it is also moving at breakneck speed throughout the galaxy.
Amazing. And none of us are dizzy.
Yep. So is God speaking?
He is.
Somebody's holding all this together. Somebody's keeping planets from crashing into each other and asteroids, you know, man is trying to shoot an asteroid to break it, to make it split apart. And all we have to do is call out to the creator and he'll send it. He said, it's going to blow up for his atmosphere because I'm not destroying the earth that way. God is always speaking. But when you're unresponsive, oh, what's another name for unresponsive? Another word?
Rebellious?
No, disobedient.
Think if you go to the hospital and you're unresponsive, what does that usually mean?
Ooh, dead.
You're dead.
You're dead. So as the apostle tells us, while we were dead in our trespasses, Ephesians 2, I believe it is, we were dead in our trespasses. Christ saved us. God revived us, brought us back to life. So to be righteous, tzedakah, also means to be responsive, to be alive in Christ, to be responsive to God. Dead people don't respond. And because dead people don't respond, dead people don't rightly relate to God. Dead people destroy other people and themselves. and dead people destroy nature and destroy creation because death, that's what death brings, destruction. So that's one of the reasons why we have to look at people when people are living lives, when living life in front of us, you know, they had the phrase dead man walking. We have to look at and realize they're dead. They're not responsive to God. But in Christ, you know what? They in Christ, they can be made alive. They can live. I know I'm turning to the scripture because it's just there and I need to go to it. Ephesians chapter 2. And somebody read verses. Verse 1 through 7. Or you might as well include verse 9. 1 through 9.
Okay. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Oh, wait. Let me make sure I got a... Yes. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you previously walked according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit now working in the disobedient. We too are previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts, and we were by nature children under wrath, as the others were also. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespasses. You are saved by grace. He also raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming age he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not for yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. All right.
Amen. Thank you. Now, this was written by the Apostle Paul. I found out that Paul and Shaul, Paul is just the Greek interpretation of the name Saul. Anyway, but what was his position before he became an apostle?
He was a persecutor of Christians.
He was a persecutor of Christian, but what else was he?
A Sanhedrin.
Yeah, he was a Pharisee.
Okay.
He was a Pharisee.
He was a Pharisee of
Pharisees. He was deep into the cult. He was a big-time Pharisee. And this Pharisee redeemed Pharisees saying that he was dead. When we were dead in our transgressions, we've been made alive in Christ. So now that he's responsive to Christ, he said, and it's only because of, this kind of answers the question about the law too, it's only because of God's mercy. I love that verse, chapter 4, God who is rich in mercy. It means that God is like, anybody ever, one chocolate dessert I will eat is chocolate mousse because it's, the flavors, it's so rich. And it's rich with flavor and chocolatey and creamy, and it's over. It's almost too much. You can't eat but so much. And that's God and his mercy is the young folks. He's dripping in mercy. That's how God's mercy is. It is just almost too much. But anyway, he says that he raised us and seated us up, and then we've been brought into a new kingdom. We've been made alive in Christ, and now we're responsive. But people who are dead are not responsive. And so the Pharisees followed the law. They followed the rules, but they could not respond when God was standing right in front of them. Because they were unresponsive, because they were not righteous. They did acts of righteousness. They followed the rules, but they did not have the life in them. They weren't responding to the Christ being in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though they followed the law, that did not make them right with God. So as we go back to Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is saying, you can't follow the law like them and had a kingdom and had God reigning in your life, because they're following rules and they're not in right relationship. And why am I emphasizing this so much? It's because God's purpose was to bring people back to wholeness, to right relationship mm-hmm. with him. The Hebrew word is shalom. We talk about it being peace, but shalom is more than peace. Shalom is wholeness. It's mm-hmm. prospering in every area. It is kingdom. It is being God reigning over the world, your life, as he intended to. So the reason I'm setting this up is because as we get into chapter 5, verses 21, going all the way to chapter 6, verse 4, Jesus is now going to be focusing not on individuals as much as he's going to be pointing out the unrighteousness of the Pharisees and why they're following the law is not the way of the kingdom. Matter of fact, let me just have somebody quickly because we got a little bit of time. And I'll point out chapter 5, verse 21. Somebody read verses 21 through 26. And we're going to finish this off and stop there today.
You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. Amen.
All right. Remembering, the tzedakah is right relationship with God, with people, creation. So he's pointing out the Pharisees because how do we know? Right there at the beginning of verse 21, he says, you have heard it said. You have heard that it was said to people long ago. In other words, you've been listening to what the Pharisees have taught you and the teachers of the law. You've been listening to what they taught you, what they've interpreted my word to mean. And so you've heard them say, don't murder, don't call anybody a fool. This is why people today, you're not supposed to call somebody a fool because if you call them a fool, the Bible tells you that's not what he's talking about. He's saying that this is the Pharisees' interpretation of what do not kill meant. This is where they've gotten to the point. They've made it so, they added to it, literally. Because we know in Exodus 20, it just says, do not kill. Thou shalt not kill. But they've added, don't say raca, or you'll be answered to the Sanhedrin. Don't say you fool, you're a fool, or you'll be in danger of the fires of hell. They added that. The scripture doesn't say that. The Old Testament scripture doesn't. So Jesus is telling them, the Pharisees' righteousness says, this is how you live. Check off these rules. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. But therefore, I tell you, if you're offering, making an offer at the offering, and you realize, oh, wow, I got beef with my brother and my sister, stop what you're doing. Go handle that. Don't go get into a fight. Go get, just make peace with them.
Okay, let me see if I got this right. So do not murder is the letter of the law, but have right relationship is the spirit of the law?
Yes.
All right.
As soon as we find the key fob. yes. The letter of the law is do not murder. Don't kill, murder. And then here the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, add on it, and don't call them a fool, and don't say raka. You know, they added that. But Jesus is saying, see, they missed it. Because Jesus' pronouncement is, don't let it get there. Don't get to the point where you will want to kill your brother and your sister. Remember Cain? In Genesis chapter 4, remember, he offered his sacrifice. Abel offered his. Abel's was accepted. Cain was not. What did the Lord caution Cain about?
That he could have given a better offer if he wanted to.
Let both live long.
Okay. Just real quickly, because I only got like 2 minutes left. He told him, he said, sin is crouching at your door. If you go do right, your offering will be accepted. So just go offer the right offering. Don't get mad at him. But then we know what happened. Cain went out and killed Abel. And he had it, took it to the heart and went and followed the whole, let me just go offer the right sacrifice with the right heart. Then I won't be mad at my brother. We'll get into this more next week because there are a couple scriptures I want us to look at. But, yes, the letter of the law or the spirit of the law, which one are you going to follow? And Jesus is coming to say people in the kingdom not only know the letter of the law, but they embody the spirit of the law. They live out what the law really intended. Amen? Let me pray.
Amen.
Father, we've definitely been drinking from a fire hose this morning, but I thank you because, Holy Spirit, you can trickle it back into our system the way we can take it in and work with it and understand and know that we're not here just to learn what, but why. Why we follow you, why we love you, and why we're yours eternally. We thank you for what's going to happen going forward. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Another good class.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Thank you all. Y'all make it that way. Without y'all, it's not a good class.
Right. Good class. Welcome back, Sister Janice.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, that was a very good lesson. I like the part when you said that God's like the rich, the chocolate drippings of mercy, because I can sure relate to that good old chocolate. That is really the goodness and the richness. God is good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
All the time.
Yeah. And then having a right relationship with God helps us to have right relationship with each other. Bottom line. Yes. All enjoyed right. That message. Yes, ma'am. Message. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for everything. Hi. We just thank you and your faithfulness and sharing God's word. As always, we appreciate you and have a beautiful day.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, all right. Okay, so everybody that's going to participate in the next part of our service, stay on and keep your one depressed, but everybody else depress your one, and we're going to get to our next part of our service. So get your cookies, your crumpets, your coffee, your tea, and after this selection, we will start our morning worship service. Amen.
Come on, everybody, open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody, all over the room, open your mouth and worship Him. Lift your hands and bless Him in this place. Your simple song.
Oh, you deserve. our hands together one time. My hallelujah belongs to you. Everybody, come on and come to the table.
And this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Runner for Christ Ministry Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience. Brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with our proclamation, scripture, and prayer. And at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct our path. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own Sister Keela Freeman. Good morning, and thank you for being with us.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone, and all the Blog Talk listeners all around the world. This morning, we will start with the proclamation, Why We Are Here proclamation. We proclaim that Jesus the King preexisted as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh to fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent his Holy Spirit to his people to affect his rule, and will come again as the final judge to rule. Amen. Now I'll go over the scripture, which is coming from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. And it reads as follows, spiritual blessing. And again, this is coming from Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 11. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will participate in this worship service now or later. Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and the preached word lift Jesus so that all who are lost will be found. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. And we ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. And it is in his word and in his name that we give thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Keila Freeman, for that proclamation scripture of prayer. You know we appreciate you, and have a beautiful day.
Thank you. You too.
Amen. Thanks. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service by our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
But they don't know you like we do. They- I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. The goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. Hey! For though my life you have been faithful.
Oh, yes you have.
Though my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything, oh Lord. Your
think about those three songs that we just listened to. I got caught up in one, and that's why I played late. But anyway, hey, praise happens, right? When you think about those three songs that we just listened to, the first thing that we have to do is recognize that God deserves our praise. That's why I wake up every single day, and before I start asking him anything or acting some kind of way or feeling some kind of way, I give him thanks. I give him thanks. I want to start my day with thanksgiving to the Lord. Amen. And so when we recognize that he deserves our praise, see, he's not the one that put that look on our face. He ain't the one that did that thing to us. He's the one that's going to fix it and change that look. Amen. As we heard Pastor Tate talk about Cain, if he had just done what's right, God asked him, why do your face look like that? Why is your countenance falling? Why is your face looking like you droopy or somebody? Amen. If Cain had did what the Lord said, his face would have zipped up like he had a tuck or something, okay? But amen. So we need to recognize that God deserves our praise. He's not the one who did that. He is the one who's going to undo that. So he deserves our praise. And then the only way we can get what we want from the Lord is to believe for it. God has given us his word. Jesus said, if you believe and don't doubt, what he said to that tree, don't grow no more, and it didn't. Okay, he said, if you believe and don't doubt in your heart, then if you say to this mountain be removed into the sea, guess what? That mountain getting ready to jump into the sea. So how many people got mountains of problems? Find what God has said about your problem and believe for it. As Pastor Janice Tate just taught us, we can't be religious for it. We can't go to church enough for it. We can't give enough money for it. We can only believe for it. Now, God will believe you believe when he see you do it, like he saw Abraham when he went up that mountain with his only son Isaac and put him up there on the wood and was ready to slay him and then light the fire. God said, hold up. And you should see what God gave him because he believed God. And then Abraham became that one who was made right with God. Why? Not because he had a righteousness of his own, but he believed God. So we got to believe for it. Amen. That's the only way we can get to the place where we see the goodness of God. Amen. And then you'll say, all my life he has been faithful. All my life he has been so good. Amen. Amen. And I have lived to see the goodness of the Lord. Then that will make us that light that Pastor Tate was talking about. That'll make us that salt that Pastor Tate was talking about in Sunday school or Saturday school, church school, school. Amen. Amen. I'm just trying to tell y'all it is good. Amen. Just to know him.
Hallelujah. Savior, rose rose from the dead.
Awesome ruler.
Crucified.
Just to
hope,
hope
of glory.
One day.
I am grateful.
He loved me enough.
Just to know him.
Know him, just to know him, Pastor Rose, awesome DJ. You always take us there. We are just so thankful. We thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. We thank you. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following the selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. So meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Sister Rebecca Johnson's Pray to the Lord. Deaconess Sister Rebecca Johnson, pray to the Lord. Amen.
Got some bad news from the physician. My heart started pounding as I listened to what was said, 'cause in my head I never thought it could happen to me. But I recall what I was taught, and it 34th chapter of the book of Psalms. In spite of our afflictions, he'll deliver us from them all. I trust still lies in you. I know you're gonna bring me through, through this trial, but I'm not ending now. I know it's gonna get hard sometimes. And when those moments come, I'll rest within your arms and give you praise for what's about to come. No matter how long it takes, I'll never give up a praise. So while I wait, I'll be patiently praying. Book of James, the proud faith shall save the sick, the Lord will raise them up once again. Yeah, that encourages me to praise him along the way to my breakthrough.
Trust me.
While we wait, we'll be patiently praising you. It is an honor to be given an opportunity to come to the throne and pray, to put our concerns on the altar and leave them there as we cast our cares on him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord, thank you that you woke us up again. All praises be to you, O God, for your kindness and mercy, for your grace and eternal love. Thank you that you are our Savior and healer. Thank you that you see us and know each of us and every one of our struggles. Thank you for your word and your armor, Lord. Thank you for giving us weapons to fight and win spiritual battles. We honor you for loving us so much that you gave your only son, Jesus, to be sacrificed for our sins, to make a way for us to have a relationship with you. We acknowledge that we make wrong choices daily, and yet you still show us love. We confess that we fall short and that none of us are worthy of the gifts you have provided for us. Forgive us for not dedicating the appropriate amount of our time, talent, and treasure to you. We confess that some of us are spiritual babies, even though we have been saved for many years. We thank you that you are not surprised by our faults and that you remember that our flesh is weak and made of dust. Thank you that we can come boldly to your throne to make new requests when we have already received so much. We have already prayed about it, and we will persist in praying. And we thank you, Father, for the work that you are already doing to provide complete healing to those who are suffering with illness, those that are oppressed, hurting, abused, brokenhearted, bereaved, grieving, mourning, depressed, or lost. We want to put cancer on the altar, Lord. We ask that you move the business of cancer out of the way and cause my husband, Ed Johnson, and our sister, Nicole Seabrook, and everyone under the sound of my voice to walk into complete healing of their bodies, hearts, and minds. We ask that you cause the perfect laborer to cross the path of those who are spiritually immature and motivate them to bathe in your word and to know you and to have victory in this life. We ask that you deliver every person in need and cause people to choose salvation and make their way to you. We ask you, Lord, to give us the victory over every kind of poverty, victory for those that are poor in health, those that are poor in finances, and those poor in spirit. We ask that you give us each eyes to see our blessings clearly and to see how we can live a life that is pleasing to you. We ask that you make each of us dissatisfied with spiritual milk and cause us to crave spiritual meat and vegetables. We ask that you cause every person who hears this radio broadcast to receive a new revelation and a new understanding of you. Even those that cannot hear, Lord, we ask you to give them a revelation of you that requires no sound. We invite you to write the word on the tablets of our hearts. We ask that you give us each a double portion of faith and the unction to pray on behalf of those who are unable to come to you. We ask you to give each of us the wisdom to do the thing you put us here to do in a way that pleases you. We say yes to you, Lord, yes to your will and your plans for us. Dear Lord, thank you that you hear and answer our prayers. We ask for all of these things with praise and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Power in prayer. Thank you. Thank you, Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, for praying and making our request known to God. You know we truly appreciate you. Have a beautiful day. Okay?
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. All right. Excellent service. And I am truly enjoying this service. And I hope you are too. For more to come, you know, first I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and moms all over the world. Hey, whether you birth them or not, happy Mother's Day. And to the sisters, the aunts, the grandmothers, the ladies, the friends, whatever part you play in raising our children, We appreciate you. Your love, Mom, your love and commitment is priceless. Women of worth, happy Mother's Day. And so I want to thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Be the reason someone smiled today. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen? Okay, moving on. Time for the preach word, a message from God. The best part, the next voice you will hear following this selection is our very own man of God, Associate Pastor Terrence Tate. Prepare to receive Associate Pastor Terrence Tate as he comes in his own way with the word from the Lord. Amen.
There is a place for me. There is a place for me. There is a place for me in the body of Christ. Yes, there is a place for me. There is a place for me. There is a place for me in the body of Christ. And I belong here.
Wow. Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is, again, for me to bring the word to your people. Father, all I ask you to do today is that you move me totally out of the way and you have your way. Let it be all of you and none of me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen and amen. Good morning, all Blog Talk Radio listeners all around this glorious, beautiful world. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. You know, I'm glad Pastor played that song before I preached, because that song goes along with what I'm going to be talking about today. And the title of my message is Smile in the Midst of the Storm. Smile in the midst of the storm. And the scriptures, the first scripture that the Holy Spirit has given me to use is John chapter 16, verse 33. And it reads like this: in this life, you're going to have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. That's the foundational text. But keep your Bibles open, because I'm going to quote some other scriptures that will go along with this message. When we face the dilemmas of this life, we have a tendency to do more grumbling than praising. We have a tendency to complain about what we're going through more than we praise God for what we're going through. Isaiah 26:3 says, I will keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on me. That means I will keep you in perfect peace no matter what you are going through. You know, so our attitudes have power. Bad attitudes about our about the dilemmas that we're facing can hurt, they can hinder, or bad attitudes about the dilemmas we're facing can hurt and hinder your spiritual growth in the Lord. Good attitudes about what you're facing can help and they can heal your broken heart. They can heal your troubled mind about the dilemma that you're facing. It says in Psalm chapter 34, it says in Psalm chapter 34 and 1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall kindly be in my mouth. Saints, God is looking for a people that will rise above what they're going through in their own lives and show other people how they got through what they're going through. Now, don't get me wrong, I am not making light of anything that you're going through right now. But what I'm saying to you is God is waiting for you to put a smile on your face no matter what you're going through. God is waiting for you to say, I'm going through cancer, but I'm still here, and I praise God. God is waiting for you to say, Well, Lord, I lost a child, but I still have joy in the midst of my grief. God is waiting for you to say, Lord, I got a bill that needs to be paid, but I know a God who can help me pay it. See, it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, it says, for I have learned to be content in whatever situation that I'm in. In verse 13, it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Which means, with the strength of the Lord, you can handle whatever storm you are going through right now. If you begin to smile in the midst of your storm. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, David said this, I was in great distress. It says this, David was in great distress, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. Saints, the best way to encourage yourself in the best way to encourage yourself when you're in a storm is to have a smile on your face and let other people see the light that shines inside of you. Because I said it earlier, if you have a bad attitude about what you're going through, you are hurting and you are hindering your spiritual growth in the Lord. But if you have a good attitude about what you're going through, you are helping and you are honoring God for the things that He has done for you. You see, I will tell you a story. This has been one of the most challenging weeks for me. Last week was one of the most challenging weeks for me spiritually and emotionally. And I'll tell you a little bit about why. I went to Grand Rapids to watch my sister graduate, which was, the graduation was wonderful. Everything was good Friday, everything was good Saturday, everything was good on Sunday, and everything was good on Monday. Now, here's where the challenging part comes in. I go to my program on Tuesday, May 2nd. I drive into the gym. I get my day started at Paragon. And a few minutes after I got in the gym to get my day started, a friend of mine comes up and tells me, "Terrence, did you hear what happened to our friend Cornell?" And I said, "No, what happened?" So my friend pointed up to the ceiling, and he said, "Cornell passed away on Saturday." Now, in the midst of that news, the devil said, "Your friend passed away? Why don't you be upset?" So I was upset for a little while, but then I heard the Lord say, I know your friend passed away. I know your friend that you went to school with passed away on Saturday, and you just found out about it on Tuesday. But you need to smile in the midst of your storm, because you know what? That your friend is in heaven with me waiting on you to get here. And I said, but Lord, my best friend had to left this earth to be with you at the age of 29. And we went to school together. And the Lord said, I know. He said, but I want you to smile in the midst of the storm that you're going through, because you are going to be all right. Now, mind you, Mother's Day is tomorrow, Sunday, May 14th. Now, mind you, I was missing my mother, and that's when the Lord said, son, fix your face, and fix your face, put on a positive attitude, and give me praise, because when you smile in the midst of your storm, even though you're going through that storm, you are showing other people how good God has been to you. You are showing other people who may not know how good God is, how good God has been to you. In Psalm chapter 34, verse 8, it says this, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord kept me through the week ahead. The Lord was with me during the time that I was missing my mother and my friend that I went to school with. What am I saying to you, saints? Church, we have to start smiling in the midst of the storm, because roadblocks are going to come, but God is faithful. We're going to have driving tribulations, but it says in John chapter 16, verse 33, it says, in this life, you're going to have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. God knows what we are going through. He's the one who told us, the joy of the Lord is your strength. God knows what we're going through, saints. Even though we may not know what we're going through and why we're going through what we are going through, God knows. And the only reason why we're going through what we're going through in this life is because God wants us to know that it's time to smile in the midst of the storm. Because he's the one, he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He says that in Hebrews chapter 13. And he also says in Hebrews chapter 13, I am the same God yesterday, today, and forever. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's always been in the fire with us. We just have to learn how to smile in the midst of the storm, because walking around with a negative attitude about the problems that we face in this life will never build our faith in God. Walking around with a negative attitude on our faith about the problems that we face in this life will only hinder our spiritual growth in the Lord. It says in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, as a man thinks in his heart, so does he become. Can I ask you a question? What is it that you're thinking about that's stopping you from being cheerful in the midst of your storm? What is it that's causing you to say, Lord, I'm going through, so I quit praising you? What is it that's causing you to block? What is it that's blocking you from your own blessings? Saints, we have this, no matter what we face in this life, roadblocks will come. But the only way we will be victorious over those roadblocks is if we have a smile on our face, even when we are going through the toughest time of our lives. David was in a mess. But he danced till he danced on his clothes. David was in a mess, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. It says in the book of Matthew, and I forget where it says it, but in the book of Matthew, it says, nothing is too hard for God to fix. There is nothing that you're going through that God doesn't know about. Nothing that you're going through is too hard for God to bring you out of. And the reason why most of us are not getting the results that we want from God is because we are doing more complaining about our problems than we are praising God about our problems. because it says in Psalm chapter one, it says in Psalm chapter 150 verse 6, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. And Isaiah 26:3 says this, I will keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on me. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I have given you power to walk on snakes and scorpions. I've also given you power to overcome every power of the enemy. The enemy does not want you praising God for what you're going through. The enemy does not want any of us to smile in the midst of the storm. The enemy wants us to keep on saying, Lord, why me? Why this? Why now? Why not later? When the Lord is saying, son, you need to smile in the midst of the storm. Daughter, you need to smile in the midst of the storm because I am with you. You're not alone in the midst of the storm that you're going through. God knows what we're going through. God, the only reason why we're going through what we're going through is because God is trying to get us to understand that he is trying to build our trust in him. And he's also trying to build our faith and confidence in him and in him alone, because he's the only one who can fix what we're going through. I don't care if the problem that we're going through was caused by us. I don't care if the Lord allowed the problem that you're going through to come your way. I don't care if the devil caused the problem that you are going through to come your way. God knows what you're going through. And he's trying to get us to have a different outlook. He's trying to get us to have a different perspective about what we're going through. We're going to have trials and tribulations. But saints, this is not our home. We're just passing through, and while we're just passing through this earth, we need to be of good cheer. While we're dealing with the problems that we're facing here on earth, because we're about to get out of here, and instead of us complaining about what we're going through, we ought to be rejoicing. We ought to be giving God thanks for what we're going through. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God. In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God through Christ Jesus for you. So, saints, whatever this week, whatever you are going to be faced with, instead of having a negative view of what you're faced with, smile in the midst of the storm, because you're not in the storm alone. God is with you. God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Bible says, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, all things work together for the good of those who are called, who love the Lord, and who are called according to his purpose. And in closing, Romans chapter 8, verse 37 says, you are more than a conqueror. And Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, verses 12 and 13 says, for I have learned to be content in whatever situation I am in. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Remember this, saints. There is nothing that you're going through that God hasn't already designed. There is nothing that you're going through that God hasn't already planned out. So, in the midst of your storm this week, no matter what kind of storm you're facing, instead of looking at the things you're going through from a negative standpoint, say, Lord, thank you, because you are the one that's in the fire with me. You are the one that will help me face this storm head on. I don't have to be wondering how I'm going to get over this storm. Oh, Lord. Father, our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of letting me preach your word the way you wanted me to preach it. Father, before I preach, I quoted Psalm chapter 19, verse 14, which says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And you did that. So you get the glory, you get the praise, you get the honor, and you get the love that's due you today, because it was all of you and none of me. I hope this message was a blessing to someone today. And in your name, I pray this prayer. In the name of Jesus, Amen and amen. Praise God.
Anytime I feel down, I know I can depend on you to help me pull through.
Help me pull through
the situations in my life. Nobody said it would be easy to walk this way, to live this life today. But through it all, I can say that I never found such love from somebody who treats everybody like somebody. Times I lost hope, my faith was weak, and my heart was sinking, and I couldn't see my way out. But then you came and showed me the words to say, the prayers to pray, give me strength to find my way.
Y'all know how I do. Okay. Hey, man, that was an awesome song, Pastor. You're going to have to let us know who that was. That's a downloadable keep on repeat track right there. Amen.
So happy Saturday, everybody. It is the second Saturday in the month of May already. What an awesome service we've had. And speaking of thank you, I just want to say thank you to Pastor Terrence Tate for that word that he brought to us today. That's a personal thank you from me to him, because he didn't know that I needed to hear what he said, but the Lord knew. I got a little situation going on, and my anxiety been on 35, okay? And I'm not usually an anxious person, but this situation has made me anxious. And I have found constantly that I've been praying to the Lord, Jesus, look, I'm this anxiety and all of this stuff, I'm not about this life. So I've just been wanting to say thank you, and I've been changing and turning my anxiety and my anxious thoughts into praise and thanks to God, because I know that all things are going to work together for my good in this situation. And so, wow. Pastor Terrence Tate, we just all say thank you. When you say you hope that somebody was blessed by this message, I can't speak for nobody else, but I know that I was, because it is 110% confirmation that God knows everything, and he knows what we're going through, no matter what it is. Amen. And all things are going to work together for my good, your good, and the good of all of us who are in Christ. Amen. So thank you, Pastor Terrence Tate, for the word that you brought to us today. And we do have a responsibility to smile through the things that go on in this life. That's like one of your biggest testimonies, besides saying something verbal to somebody. Okay, a smile. We all know. I mean, if we're in this world, we all know that we either about to go into something, already in something, or coming out of something. But no matter what, we have a reason to smile. Amen. And smiling is your biggest testimony, because that lets people know that even though you got stuff going on, you don't look like what you've been through, and you don't look like what you're going through. Amen. So we do have to remember to smile through the storm. Amen. What an awesome word. We're so grateful. We're so thankful for the time that was taken for the study and the obedience of Pastor Terrence Tate to bring out a word that probably wasn't easy, because it's hard to tell people how they should feel in the middle of something. You know, we want to be sad, like he was speaking about, you know, Mother's Day and the loss of his best friend. And so you got those two things going on, and to try to smile through things like that and then tell people to smile through things like that, it's hard to do. But we know God is good, and he is good all the time. And so we're going to smile today no matter what we're going through. Amen. Amen. So it's Mother's Day weekend, y'all. Amen. So we know that Mother's Day is celebrated everywhere, and we would just like to wish all mothers, grandmothers, mothers-to-be, godmothers, and all those that have stepped in to be mothers a very happy Mother's Day from our Runners for Christ Ministries family out to you. Amen. And so in accordance with our announcements, we will have our Sunday school beginning at 9 a.m. With our teacher, Assistant Pastor Janice Tate, and following our worship service that begins at 10 a.m. with Minister Lachelle Anderson bringing God's Word for Mother's Day entitled Scattering Hope. So I am looking forward to that. We invite you to come out and join us, as we will be blessed in the Word this Sunday, again, by Minister Anderson. We are at River Rouge High School in the LGI Auditorium, so please come out. And I just want to say, too, that the entire month of May for us at Run for Christ Ministries will be devoted to awesome women and women preachers. So just make sure you come on out, bring your husband, sons, kids. This is not just a women's only thing, because obviously everybody needs to hear the word. So just come on out as we just shed light and love and greatness, amen, on women preachers this month at Runner for Christ Ministries. Amen. And if you have not ever heard Minister Lachelle Anderson preach, she's done a couple messages for us. She did a Christmas message on Blog Talk Radio this past Christmas holiday. It was amazing. So if you have not listened, you might want to go back. Amen. It'll just give you just a little snippet of how awesome she is. Amen. Amen. Do not forget, every Tuesday at 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio with Training Day. I have found that for me, I can't always be on the phone because I work, but he, as he's doing Blog Talk Radio with Training Day, he's also recording himself, and He puts them on his YouTube channel. So I have been going back and watching it on YouTube, and it is intense. Okay, it is awesome. So if you're not tuning in to Reverend Richard, Minister Richard Overall on Blog Talk Radio every Tuesday at 4 p.m., make sure you go on to his YouTube channel, and you'll get the same content as you're getting on the phone, and it's awesome. Amen. Every Wednesday at 6 p.m., we hold our Bible reading class here on Blog Talk Radio. Amos, the book of Amos, amen, chapters 69, will be taught by Deacon Charles Mackey this week. Questions are available online on our church website, rfcm.org. Just click on the Bible classes tab. Or if you're on pastor's email list, they have been emailed out as well. And usually on Sundays, pastor will come in with his yellow folder and say, here, put these out on the table. So they'll also be on the table that I sit at if you would like to get copies of the questions before you leave service. Amen. Do not forget that every Friday at 7 p.m., Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is on Blog Talk Radio with her show, Bring Back the Family, talking about our children. Amen. So get in on that. Don't forget that all of our classes and our services and anything that we have here on Blog Talk Radio is recorded, archived, and free. Please don't forget to check out our church website, again, rfcm.org, and make sure to use it as you need it, but to most definitely share it with others. There's classes, again, our services, jobs, books, resources, and more, all available for free to make sure, make sure that you're using it for yourself so I can talk. Use it for yourself and share it with people. That's what I'm trying to say. Amen. Amen. If you would like to pay your tithes and offerings, please visit the church website, again, rfcm.org. Click on tithes and offerings. If you would like to give a love offering for Pastor Terrence Tate, who reminded you today to smile through your storm, please visit our church website, rfcm.org, and just click on tithes and offerings. And remember to specify Pastor Terrence Tate and say, Pastor Terrence Tate told me to smile through the storm, and so this is for him. Amen. And we will see to it that he receives it. The Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness in sharing with us. Amen. So Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. Eternal life in heaven hinges on your belief in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, let me say that again, eternal life in heaven, because you can most definitely spend eternity in hell. See, there are people out there who think that hell does not exist, it's just a made-up place. Nah, it's real. Okay, there is no relationship with the Father without the Son, and there is no receipt of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ without accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, which is your household today, Judea, which is your community today, Samaria, which is outside your comfort zone, to people in places where you might not really fool with or go to, amen, and to the ends of the earth. And this is people in places you like, nope, not today, not tomorrow, not ever, okay? People that you are just not going to fool with ever in life. Well, you know what? If we're the witnesses and we're going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, the word needs to go around the world, amen? And so no matter who you are or where you are, the word of God needs to go around the world, okay? And it's our job as Christians, filled with the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, to spread the gospel of Jesus so that no souls are left behind. I know sometimes it seems, not sometimes, all the time, it seems like a daunting task. You might be hard-pressed to get one person saved. So when you're talking about the word of God needing to go all over the world, that's what Blog Talk Radio is doing right now. Jesus knows that we as human beings, physical people, can't just hop a plane and go everywhere and reach everybody. But here we are on Blog Talk Radio, reaching people that we would have never been able to physically witness to in person, just because we're just not always, we're not capable of doing that. Amen. So we're getting around the world. Pastor talked about us being in Korea and China and places where we just not hop in planes to want to just go and be witnesses to. Okay, we might go on vacation to see what's up, but we ain't really going to be a witness to get the word of Christ around the world. And so that's why we're so thankful for Blog Talk Radio, because we're getting around the world. Amen. And so, again, it's our job to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ so that we don't leave anyone behind. And with the volume of people, it may, like I said, seem daunting, but it's happening. Amen. And so Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 says, "The hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, not for people." Okay, but we know that, unfortunately, some will end up there in eternal torment. This life is short. God is not bound by time, but we are. Pastor Jonathan Tate always says it so eloquently. Time ain't long, saint. Amen. And it's true. Psalm chapter 90, verse 12 says, "Teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts to wisdom." And John chapter 14, verse 3 says that I, and that I is Jesus, am going away to prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me where I am. Amen. There's a lot of things in this life that look like they're real, that look like they're true, and look like they're factual, but they're not. Okay, there's always a little something there. The deception and the deceit of the enemy is always there. But the one thing you can take a check and cash is the word of God. It is tried and it is true, and the Lord is real. Amen. And so his word is something that is true, and we live by that because we have the Holy Spirit and we believe it. Amen. Amen. So we just want to ask that you continue to pray for everyone, everywhere, all of the time. Continue to please pray for Darius Freeman, his mother Keela Freeman, Deaconess Nicole Seabrook, Deaconess Lisa Thornton, Nico Gaston, Doris Gaither, all of our caregivers, Elder Joseph Stevens, Ed Johnson, all of our mothers on the move at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, Mother Irma, and Mother Persia. Continue to pray for our government and all of the leaders of our country and our communities, all those who are sick and shut in and incarcerated. Deaconess Rebecca did an awesome, awesome altar call. She hit every bullet point. Amen. So just please continue to pray for all those who are bereaved, grieving, and mourning. We know that that is something that just seems to be the overpowering theme in this world. It's like you can't look at the news, you can't look at anything without seeing tragedy and sadness and hurt. And so we really need to continue to keep those who've lost loved ones lifted up in prayer to the Lord for peace and for comfort. Amen. Amen. So on a much lighter note, happy birthday to all of the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated their birthdays this past week, or if you're celebrating today, happy birthday. Shout outs go out to our Run for Christ Ministry members. Joyana celebrated her birthday on the 8th. Brooklyn celebrated her birthday on the 9th. Melanie McIver will be celebrating her birthday on the 22nd. And one of my favorite people, amen, Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, will be celebrating her birthday on the 29th. So happy, happy birthday. Much love, hugs, and blessings to you all. Amen. So in honor of Mother's Day, let's take a second to look at one of the extraordinary mothers in the Bible. We know that there are many, amen? This particular mother obeyed God's calling, served sacrificially, and built a life of faith for her and her family. And I'd like to thank my pen pal because she kind of dropped a little tidbit on me this morning. I kind of was going in a different direction, but she heard saying what she said to me this morning in her email kind of made me shift my perspective. And so here we are. We are going to talk about Hannah, amen, the mother who kept her promise. Excuse me. Hannah was married to a man who loved her very much, but he also had another wife. This wife was able to bear children. But in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 5 through 6, we learn that the Lord had closed Hannah's womb. The rival wife provoked Hannah continually, and that's Penina. Go back and read it, okay? The rival wife provoked Hannah continually, but Hannah would go to the house of the Lord to pray. Her husband tried to console her, saying, "Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 8. Hannah prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly, and she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, excuse me, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. In fact, she was praying so hard that her lips were moving, but no sound came out, so that the priest Eli thought she was drunk. Okay, the Lord blessed Hannah, and she gave birth to a son and named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. And that's 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 20. She did just as she had promised. And when Samuel was old enough and he was weaned, she took him to the house of the Lord and presented him to Eli. Hannah then prayed, my heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. And her beautiful prayer continues in chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Samuel lived a life dedicated to the Lord, and he will go on to lead the people of Israel, anointing Israel's first and second kings, Saul and David. So what lessons can we learn from Hannah? In the beginning of Hannah's story, she prayed to the Lord in supplication by boldly asking for a son. At the end of her story, she offered a prayer of surrender to God. Hannah willingly surrendered her son back to God out of her love, reverence, and gratitude to him. Later on, as Samuel grew in the temple, he became one of the most influential prophets in Israel. Are we willing to completely trust the Lord with the lives of our children? Are we willing to surrender them to God in prayer? We as mothers must realize that surrendering our children to God is the best thing we can do for them. When we release control to the Lord, we can open the door for God to do amazing things in our children's lives. Amen. And so as mothers, it's always been that we always want to do better for our children than maybe that was done for us. And so the best thing you can do is to give your children over to the Lord, because they belong to him, and they are only a blessing on loan to us. Amen. So if you want to show your children how much you love them, give them back to the Lord and let him do great and wonderful things in their lives. Amen. Amen. Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers out there, and those are your announcements.
Amen. You know what, Crystal? I give thanks to my mother always for being the one who led me to Christ. Actually, my mother and father did it in the same day. My father hit me first with God is able and God is almighty, and then my mother broke it down for me. She handed me a book that said, come unto me, and I'm telling you, I read that book, and I got so scared of the devil until Jesus defeated him and defeated death.
Amen.
I said, I want to be with Jesus. Jesus, save me now. And that began my walk with the Lord. And I've said it a million times to Jesus when we talk, that I am so thankful to you for a mother and a father who led me to you, because giving me you gave me more than they could ever give me, and they knew that.
Amen.
And amen. And you know, if the truth be told, the father is the head of the home, okay? But it's that mother who has access to those children in those first 3 to 5 years. It wouldn't, even in Jewish culture, that child wouldn't come under the father until they had reached an age where they could say yes and no and understand. You know what I'm saying? Then the father would take them on and start teaching them certain things. But the mother was always the foundation. The mother was in the home. You know, we like keep them in the house. Well, they were in the home. And they had access, and even in the 1500s, Christian history done broke out. Even
Here we go.
When women started being reinvested in the witnessing effort, they would go into communities, and single women would have a home, and out of that home, they would practice all kinds of deeds of charity, just like Dorcas did in Acts chapter 9, single woman, got money, got means, and helping people. They became known as nuns, because they didn't require go to the Pope and say, we want to found an order, we want to do this, we want to did that. They were just some kind souls living in a neighborhood helping people. And so women became once again reinvested in God's effort in saving souls, and they were much more successful at it than men. Why? Because they could go into the homes with those mothers who had access mm-hmm. to those children and hold Bible classes. So giving thanks to God today for mothers who Jesus used a whole lot. Because when you hear mm-hmm. people talk mm-hmm. about who led them to Christ, it's mm-hmm. mama.
So, my mama.
Amen. Father
That's
was
right.
there, but it was the mama who had that access. Okay,
that's right.
And they
Daddy
still
was at
have
work.
It today.
Mama was with them kids.
Exactly. And even if her only preaching was, "Boy, you need Jesus," you know.
That's
that,
right.
That was,
that's all you got.
Mama,
you
boy,
you
better
needed.
Be glad for Jesus. Because, I send you to heaven right
yes,
now. You know, it's
you yes.
Boy, you better thank God for
Amen.
That food. Kids in Africa
that's
are starving.
Right.
It's like, okay, I don't
that's
have nothing
right.
to do with that, but I'm going to thank God. And then to sit yep. at a table, you know, so
mm-hmm.
it was mothers,
mm-hmm.
you know, just
mm-hmm.
these mothers.
Yeah.
You know, like you
Absolutely.
Yourself. I am so proud of you, Crystal, what you did with a man.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, that
oh,
boy is,
you.
You know what I mean? He came through the crazy stage and didn't go super crazy. You know, usually when
yeah.
young men get to that stage, they act out.
Mm-hmm.
But he,
mm-hmm.
you know,
not up in here.
There, so.
Not up in here.
Like Sheila with Darius and Malachi. I love,
yes,
you gotta love
good boy.
Them, right?
Yes.
You gotta love it. You watch your mother with
yes.
some boys, and boys go nuts at a certain. They turn
yeah.
10 and they crazy. So.
Crazy. Yeah.
So you know, you really gotta.
By God's grace.
Yeah.
Yeah. By God's so. Grace. By God's grace.
Amen. Put the work in and they'll come out
yeah.
like hometown heroes. Amen.
Amen.
That's
yes.
some awesome
I
stuff
love that.
Right there. That's some awesome
Amen.
Stuff. And you get a chance to say, okay, Amen. My work done. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
But anyway.
That's right. Amen.
Thank you, Crystal. Tell Mira I
You're
say
welcome.
What's up. Have a blessed
I sure
day.
Will.
Amen.
Yes, you too. Amen.
Amen. We thank God, as always, for each and every one of you. Just a short announcement to the teachers. Teachers, check your emails because I made a date mistake and I fixed it. So you want to look at the teaching schedule and notice the date changes. Okay, the books, the teacher books are in and the student books. They'll be available tomorrow at church. See me or Baby Holy Ghost. One of us will be, one of us will have them. Okay, they'll be there. So. You know who you are, and if you haven't already gotten your book, the teacher's book, it's available, and the student books will be available. And again, they're free. The church is providing them because the church is providing the class. Amen. And there is literally, I heard in Pastor Janice Tate's class, they're talking about the upside-down kingdom. Guess what the very first class, June 5th on a Monday, is going to be? The upside down kingdom. Lord have mercy. Amen. If that's not confirmation, I don't know what is. So look out for your books. The name of that song, Thank You, is by Rufus Johnson. The first time I heard it, I was sitting in the place where I like to meet with the Lord in the unfinished basement. And that's where I heard that song because that is what I do every morning. I just wake up and I say, Lord, I just want to say thank you. And then I went downstairs. Jesus, like, you know, let's turn on the radio, get some praise music going, get some worship going in here. And guess what? The song I heard was, I Just Want to Say Thank You. So I loved it. I got it, and I'm going to be playing it a lot. So anyway, God bless you. God keep you. Amen. Have yourselves a wonderful day. We thank God for Deaconess Kathy Clyburn. We thank God a whole lot for our assistant pastor, Janice Tate. Welcome back to the seat. Where you teach, and we thank God for you. Don't remember, she also teaches on Sunday morning at our church at 9 o'clock, so as Crystal done told you that, though. But anyway, we thank God for Keela Freeman for doing the scripture and prayer and proclamation. We thank God for Deaconess Rebecca Johnson with the altar call, awesome altar call, and Pastor Terrence Tate with that word of God. Amen. Smile through. Tell everybody you know that this message is on our church website. It'll be in the church blog talk radio player. Just go to Bible classes, click on blog talk player. That sermon will be right there. And if you don't see it there, it is archived, it is recorded, it is kept. go to our Blog Talk Show page, and you can listen to it a million times, okay? Because that's what we need to do, learn how to smile. Since we're going to have trials and tribulations, better learn to do like Paul and Silas did, sit in that Philippian jail and sing praises to God at midnight when it's real dark. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Now for the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace until we all meet again. Amen. Said the whole church. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. I want to play a little piece that I got from Deaconess Kathy Clyburn last night, and then that's going to be followed by a song.
About love sometimes. You know, love is tough. You have to roll up your sleeves and get your hands dirty. It's not something that's always soft and easy.
There are days when love is a fight, no holds barred, tooth and claw. Compromise means losing a piece of dignity. Your territory must be defended.
When love hurts, it's like no other misfortune. Your heart on fire, torn, broken.
But love doesn't give up. It comforts, restores, gives dignity, freedom, heals with faith, erupts with commitment, compassion. About love sometimes.
such silver fellas, little Sonny.
They're drinking that wine. Remember the schoolyard days?
Yeah.
We had to take you home, man. You was out on it,
oh,
man.
Oh, better, better day. Lord have mercy.
Hey, but listen.
Yeah.
Remember when we used to run around there? Steal a hubcap off the car.
What you talking about? His batteries?
We lucky we ain't get busted, man.
Listen.
Then I say, here comes the fun.
Hey, Mary, what color was you coming today?
That tenderloin.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. But dig this here.
Yeah.
Now, see, when all that gang war was going on, I'll tell you one thing I never forget.
And what's that?
See, when I got home, first thing I would hear is,
what?
Bill!
Yeah.
Where you been, boy?
That's it.
Hey. I say, I was out with Sonny Bird and Lil Sonny.
Put it all up.
I had to put it on somebody.
Hey, Phil, what's your mama say?
She say, boy, now I'm going to tell you.
What?
You know you getting big now.
Yeah.
You got to watch the things that you doing out in that street.
Right. And
right.
You go to jail. Right.
And I'm going to tell you something, man. Mama wasn't wrong.
No.
But what about Pop? Oh, we ain't talking about Pop.
No, man. Pop,
well,
was all right.
Pop was a lot of bad.
Pop was hanging out, you know.
Yeah, hanging out. I think Pop was drinking more wine than we used to drink. I know my Pop did.
Yeah.
My Pop hung right over with you, boy.
Yeah. Stay out all night. Come on, clothes all wrinkled up, lip balls all on them.
Hey, Sonny. I know where your mom cooked them good home-cooked ribs today.
Mr. Green?
Oh, man.
Hey. Boy, your mama just